It's Tuesday, September 26th. I'd like to call the Audit Committee meeting to order and begin by acknowledging that we are in the ancestral and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. So the first thing on the agenda is the nomination and election by ballot of chair and vice chair for the Audit Committee. I have regrets from Councillor Haysom, and she is putting her name forward for chair. So what's next? To ballot?
Ballot.
Okay. Okay, so we can?
I don't think so. Not
okay. Okay. So we have her. Okay. Pardon me? I don't know. Not that I've heard.
And I will begin.
Okay, so now we're going to look at the nomination ballots.
Nominated is Councillor Vino. Councillor Haysom. Councillor Hubley, Deputy Mayor Hubley. Councillor Bell. Councillor Oikel. Okay, so nominated for chair of the audit committee is Councillor Vino, Councillor Haysom, Deputy Mayor Hubley, Councillor Bell, and Councillor Oikel. Do you wish to keep your name standing on the ballot?
I'd like to have my name removed, please.
Councillor Bell?
I'd like to have my name removed, please.
Chastity?
I'll have mine removed, please.
What? Remaining is Haysom and Deputy Mayor Hubley.
I'll let my name stand.
So,
just to make it fun.
We have remaining on the ballot for nomination of chair. You are voting on now is Haysom and Deputy Mayor Hubley. Okay, so second ballot, we have Councillor Deputy Mayor Hubley. Haysom. Haysom. Hubley. 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 Haysom. Hubley. Hubley. And Hubley would be declared chair of the audit committee.
Excellent. Thank you. So now we're going to move to vice chair?
Correct.
Correct. Okay. Nominations.
Okay, nominations for vice. We have Haysom, Vino, Bell, DeLong. Okay, so for nominated for vice of the audit committee is Councillor Bell, Councillor Haysom, Councillor Vino, and Councillor DeLong.
Councillor Bell?
I'd like you to remove my name, please.
Okay, Councillor Haysom shall stand.
Councillor Vino?
I'll let my name stand, thank you.
Okay. And Councillor DeLong?
I'd like mine removed, please, thank you.
Thank you.
So for vice chair, you will be looking at either Haysom or Councillor Vino.
Oh, you don't have a ballot?
I have more ballot.
There's some there right by me. There should. Oh, there aren't? Mine are gone?
Yeah, they're here.
Oh,
okay.
Jason Mabino.
Oh, that don't look right. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Oh. Doing it all backwards. Okay, so on the first ballot, we have 6 for Councillor Vino and Councillor Haysom 4. So Councillor Vino is declared your vice.
Thank you.
So I need a motion to destroy the ballots. Councillor Wynot, a seconder? Councillor Greek, all those in favor? Motion's passed unanimously. So we're going to move down to number 3. We need an approval of the agenda as circulated. Councillor Oikle, a seconder? Councillor Bell, all those in favor? Approval of the minutes of July 4th as circulated. Can I have a motion? Councillor DeLong, seconded by Councillor Moore. All those in favor? Okay, so then we're going to move down to the management letter, and I assume that that is Bella Bovino.
Perfect. Thank you for having us this morning. So I'm Michael Bellavo, a partner at Bella Bovino. So to start, I have my colleague here with me, Michelle Laird. Michelle's the senior on the audit. So she's going to walk you through quickly the opinions on the financial statements, which is of interest to you, and then I'll take you through the management letter and internal control letters after that.
Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to start with the consolidated financial statements for the municipality of the District of Lunenburg. So these statements are the responsibility of management to be prepared in accordance with legislation and the Canadian Public Sector Accounting Standards. We are engaged to issue and provide an opinion on these statements. It is our opinion that we have issued an modified audit opinion, which means the accompanying financial statements present fairly in all material respects the consolidated financial position of the municipality as at March 31st, 2023. We've also been engaged to provide an opinion on the trust financial statements. And we have also issued an unmodified audit opinion on these statements, which means that the accompanying financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the trust as at March 31st, 2023, in accordance with accounting standards for not-for-profit. During our audit, we've not identified any fraud or any issues, and management has been courteous and extremely helpful in our audit process. So thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Michelle. So just going back and through the letter, so we're required as part through the province to issue an internal control letter. So in the current year, nothing was identified from an internal control perspective to bring to your attention. Management does an excellent job, actually, of looking at internal controls proactively, not just as they come up. And consistently evaluating them. So you are lucky you do have a very strong internal control environment here. If anything does come up throughout the year where departments may be making changes or looking at how things are going, we're often contacted so we can work together to make sure that any new implementations or procedures are going to be strong from an internal control perspective. So well done on that. From the management letter point of view, in the current year, the big thing that you'll see is the adoption of PS 3 2080, which is the asset retirement obligation. So in the current year, or in the prior year, there was a reduction of $996,251 in opening accumulated surplus in the capital fund. The liability at year end is $1,042,499. So this is a new standard that was implemented this year. I touched on it briefly at the meeting in July. So what they're looking at is the liabilities associated with when you decide you may no longer need an asset. So the big one that comes up is asbestos. So if you have a building that has asbestos in it, you know, basically in order to get rid of that building or sell it, you have some cleanup to do. So what this standard does is they say, okay, at the time that you purchase that asset, they're going to look at it and say, okay, maybe there's $100,000 of work that we know that will need to be done eventually to before you sell it. So if you paid $100,000 for an asset and now there's another $100,000 of work to be performed, they add that to the cost of the assets. So now your asset cost is $200,000 and you have a liability of $100,000. So that new new asset that has a $200,000 cost base gets amortized as it normally would over the course of time. So that comes down. But that liability that's been set up for $100,000, so that can now change because, as you know, as we go out in time, that cost might change, you know, CPI and all those factors that go in it. So that $100,000, the following year maybe is now $120,000. So that $20,000 difference comes in as an accretion expense, which would be a new line item for you. You'd be used to be seeing amortization expense. Now you'll see an additional expense as accretion. So that's the fluctuation of that liability. We don't go back to the cost of the asset and add it, so it comes through as accretion. So that's been implemented in the current year through the use of your public works engineerings and experts to come up with those numbers. So you'll see that in the statements, which was all great the way it was implemented. Actually, it went very smoothly from our end and hopefully from the finance department's end as well. So that's the main piece in the management letter. There was one thing I didn't feel was of importance to put in the letter, but it's more so just kind of to keep our eye on as risks in the future years. One thing we've looked at, and I know multiple industries have felt with during, you know, COVID and coming out of COVID about 2021, things starting to get back to normal now. You know, people were tired, people are stressed, and all those things that go with it. So one thing we look at is vacation, ensuring that, you know, people are getting appropriate breaks. You have strong internal controls when it comes to having people backing up people as they go off on vacation. So there's someone who knows how to do someone's job, which is fantastic and great. The one piece, and it's I'm just bringing it up from a just to keep our eye on it, but for not taking vacation, you know, the work-life balance, all those things that come with it, if you get stressed or you can have medical events or you start to make errors and those pieces. So that's just something to keep an eye on going forward as far as making sure your staff is in the best state of mind. I don't think it's a major issue, but it was more so just to bring it up to keep our eye on it as we go through. And we're seeing that consistently across the board, whatever industry you're dealing with, just to making sure that people are taking care of themselves. So that would be the only other thing I would have to bring up. But as Michelle mentioned, your staff does a wonderful job here of helping us as auditors and letting us do our work. They're responsive, courteous, anything we need, you know, it's done and brought to us. So thank you very much to Elena and Angie and their team. So that is all I'll have. I'm happy to answer any questions, or if you wanted to let, I'm not sure if you wanted questions now or after, but both are good with us. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay. So are we at the internal control letter, or did you cover that? Okay. Did you cover treasurer's financial statement That's report? Me. That's Elena.
That's me.
Okay.
Okay.
Go.
Thank you very much. So the treasurer's report kind of gives you a summary of the four financial statements that we have to put together for public sector accounting. So that's the statement of financial position, statement of operations, statement of cash flow, and statement of changes in net financial assets. So this three-page report kind of references what's in your financial statements. So on page four, is your consolidated statements of financial position, which is your balance sheet summarizing the financial assets and liabilities of the municipality. It highlights the net financial asset, which is the difference between the financial assets and liabilities and the investment in capital assets and the accumulated surplus. We were able to invest in assets by leveraging funding from other levels of government, using our own reserves and no capital borrowing. The result is a net financial asset on the statement, which increases the accumulated surplus. Also, you'll see a new line on it for the asset retirement obligation that Michael went over. And so there's a new note, number 13 on page 25, that shows you which assets have asset retirement obligations. And those would be Center School, the Merrick Program Building, the Brick Building, the Merrick Mid Building, and the Wilds Lakes Buildings, all of which have had, a hazmat kind of survey to find out what we think the cost would be to retire those assets. And certainly the bulk of that, just over $1 million, is Center School. So that's good to note. So the accumulated surplus by fund, we have no surplus in operating, as that gets transferred to your reserves. So there's $43 million in capital, $28.9 million in reserves, $3.5 Municipal Joint Services Board that we consolidate, as well as the LC Lunenburg County Multipurpose Corporation, which is $14.7 million. So it gives us $90.5 million of accumulated surplus. On the next page, page 5 of your financial statements, you're looking at the consolidated statement of operations, which provides a summary of revenues, expenditures, and surplus for the fiscal year on a consolidated basis. So it also includes the LCLC. The consolidated statement of operations shows a surplus of $8.3 million against a budgeted surplus of just over $3 million. That variance of $5.3 million is in a table here on this statement. It looks very similar to what we talked about in your fourth quarter variance report. We knew that the transfer tax was up over budget. We knew that interest rates were increasing and that we were accumulating more interest on that side. And we knew we were collecting more open space monies. So we had a total revenue variance to budget of $4.5 million. On the expenditure side, most expenditures were under budget, until you kind of get to the bottom, and depreciation is over what we thought for budgeting, and then you see your asset retirement obligation expense of $46,000 for the year. We wrote off a few assets, and we had to consolidate it in the LCLC, and then the change in the asset retirement obligation because we funded that. So we have a net variance of $5.3 million. Certainly stop me if you have any questions as we go. If we move on to the consolidated statement of cash flows on page 6 of your financial statements, that reports a change in cash by showing how the municipality financed its activities and met its cash requirements throughout the year. The operating annual surplus is affected by non-cash items like amortization, accretion, and changes in receivable, payables, and liabilities. Capital activities include the purchase and disposal of tangible capital assets, and financing activities include acquisition of and payments on long-term debt. So there was no payment this year, but last year we had to clean that up. Investing activities include investments, loans, advances, and inventory held for sale. The fourth required statement is a consolidated statement of changes in net financial assets. That's required to explain the change in your net assets as a result of annual operations, transactions, and tangible capital assets, and changes in other non-financial assets such as prepaids and inventories. We're in a strong financial position as a municipality, and we've increased our net financial asset by just over $5 million. The next section on this report talks about the things that you as an audit committee are responsible to review. So the hospitality and expenses of reportable individuals. Reportable individuals under the Act are mayor and council and the CAO. So notes 23 and 24 cover that off, which is page 36 of your financial statements. So we show your remuneration and all the expenses that you have as a council or the CAO, and we show a comparison to last year. And we do not have any hospitality expenses this year, nor did we last year. It's not something we usually have, but we have to report that we have none. As Michelle talked about, the trust fund financial statements on page 55 of this, those are prepared in accordance with the Canadian Accounting Standards for Nonprofits. It includes funds that have been trusted to the municipality, and there's just a few things in there. So we have some burial funds of $3,240 held for three residents of Riverview Enhanced Living. There's some school lands trust amount, which is $26,000. That's our interest in New Germany and Parkview school lands when those lands were donated for the schools to be built. And $1 million for the funds that we had from the Lunenburg County Community Fund. So, as well, the audit committee needs to review the compliance that we're making sure that we are submitting our reporting to the province on time. So you're reviewing the audited financial statements. That's part of your compliance, your annual budget variances, expenses for reportable individuals, and hospitality expenses. All of those reviews have meet that obligation. And staff can report that our mandatory reporting to the province, the annual expenditure report, the capital investment plan, and both statement of estimates have been submitted before the required deadlines. The financial information return has not been released by the province. Usually that's due by September 30th, but we haven't even got it from them yet. So sometime in October, they tell us, they'll be sending it out, and we'll make sure that it gets completed on time. So if there's any questions, we're all happy to answer any.
Okay. Excuse me. Do we have any questions or comments for anyone? Easy bunch. Okay, so I guess that, wonderful. Audit financial statements. Did you go through that, Elena, right to the very bottom? Okay. So looking for a motion for adjournment.
Oh, wait. We need a recommendation.
What did I miss? Oh,
motion,
shoot.
Please. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Okay. So, Councillor Vino, would you like to put the motion on the floor?
Certainly. Thank you. To the Chair and members of Council, I move that the Audit Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council accept the municipality of the District of Lunenburg's financial statements for the year ended March 31st, 2023, and I so move.
Seconded by Councillor Wynott. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Question.
All those in favor? Motion's passed unanimously. Now the motion for adjournment. Councillor Wynott, seconded by, looking for a seconder, Councillor DeLong. All those in favor? Motion's passed unanimously.